Greetings once again from Denver, Colorado, the city right here in the middle of it all. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to have you back with us as we dive into another week in the broadcast, where we don't take calls and we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. So good to have you with us. I'm just lucky to be alive. I took part today in one of the most dangerous activities known to man, and I will... Should I get into it now? Maybe not. The first thing I want to talk about is I drove around all day today. I drove on the road for 12 hours today, listening to talk radio on Sunday here in Denver. And Tom Tancredo was sitting in on 850 KOA, and I happened to hear him use the traditional English pronunciation of the term Muslim, which is Muslim, which I've been doing now for a couple of months, and I just wonder if Tom's been listening to the show or what. Or maybe Tom was doing it first. He's a pretty hip guy. Tom Tancredo, presidential candidate, talk show host. Tom Tancredo's got it going on. Conservative, signed the personhood petition back before it was cool. Yeah, Tom Tancredo. Anyway, he calls them Muslims. And so me and Tom are on the same page. I think it's great. Welcome aboard, Tom. Or maybe I've been ripping you off and I didn't even know it. But that was great to hear another, well, we won't call him a great American because that's just too lame. But another American, conservative in the media, referring to our Muslim brothers in the traditional English pronunciation. I just love that. Now, I have an apology that I have to make to a member of the audience, and I'm going to get to that a little later in the broadcast, hopefully, if I don't get bogged down in all this other stuff. But let me tell you about what I consider to be the most dangerous activity a human being can undertake outside of war or something serious. And it's something I did today and probably should have been arrested for. If you're trying to drive a car and eat a nacho cheese steak gordita from Taco Bell, you are a danger to society. I mean, you've got lettuce and tomatoes and cheese dripping onto you, and you're trying to control the vehicle while trying to manipulate a GPS to get to your next stop. And I'll tell you what, it's nothing for an amateur to be participating in, and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone in the audience. Next time, I think I'll go with a bacon double cheeseburger from Burger King, because you can eat that thing. That thing you can eat and drive, and it's no problem. But that nacho cheese steak gordita is dangerous. Let me tell you what.
That's a suicide
meal. That's a...
it's a Taco Bell.
No. Now, don't be slamming Taco Bell. When my extremely attractive audio engineer first moved to the United States, she asked me if I had any advice on restaurants. Now, we lived in Southern California at the time. And I told her the one piece of advice I can give you, my dear, is never eat at any restaurant that has taco in the name of the restaurant. And she has taken that advice for nearly 20 years now. Has it been that long? Now, she came over here when she was 4. Just so you know. It's been a while. But she has taken that advice. But it was there were moments when I was scared, and I almost pulled over to the side of the road to eat that nacho cheese steak gordita. But I don't want to call it pride. I don't know what it was. There was something in me that said, no, you can do this. You can keep driving. You don't have to lose any time. And you will not get any cheese on your $300 gray slacks. Were these slacks $300? No, they weren't. But they look like they were. Because my extremely attractive audio engineer is awesome at shopping. It's her gift. All right. So let me set... Now, I'm going to get to the apology. Apparently, I used some language that was offensive to some of our listeners. And I'm going to get to that apology a little bit later. Because I want to jump into the news of the day. Did I cover everything I wanted to cover here in the open? I suppose I did. All right. Here we go. Let's jump into the news of the day. This is from the First Post over in London. A dateline of London, as a matter of fact. And it's a story from the local newspaper there, and it reads thusly. In the long and noble tradition of men and women seeking to circumnavigate the world by air, none has fallen so tragically short of his great target as the British tree surgeon Martin Bromage. Yes, he set off last week from Gloucestershire Airport at Staverton in a microlight aircraft for the 11,000-mile round-the-world trip and crashed into the English Channel 5 hours later. His body was recovered the following night. Now, this, to me, is a microcosm of the Obama presidency. Yes. Now, I will admit that I was wrong last week in my prediction regarding the Massachusetts election between the child-killing liberal and the Democrat. I'll admit I was wrong, and Scott Brown won. I didn't think... This proves that ACORN and the SEIU and the Democrats apparently don't have the ability to completely steal an election. So I suppose we could be happy about that if we hadn't elected a communist, socialist, pinko, child-killing liberal like Scott Brown. But it does prove that I was wrong, because I thought the Democrats would pull that election out, not unlike they did in upstate New York with, what was her name up there in upstate New York? Does anyone remember her name? No. Okay. Well, doesn't matter. You all remember. But while I may have been wrong on the Massachusetts election, my theory that Barack Obama is Jimmy Carter is being proved correct day by day, as his presidency continues to founder in an embarrassing manner. And hopefully it will be fun to watch him go down in flames and be bounced out of office after one short term. Well, it won't be a short term, but after one term. That would be nice. Unless, of course, Scott Brown is elected. That brings me to the politics file. From ABC News... At a Wednesday press conference in Boston, last Wednesday, Senator-elect Scott Brown was asked if he sees himself as presidential timber. Presidential timber. Yeah. He did not rule out a future White House run. So he's asked if he was presidential timber, and he didn't rule it out. Jack Kennedy got elected. He was a good-looking guy, great hair, just like me. But John Kennedy did not advocate a socialist fiscal policy, and the killing and dehumanization of an entire class of American citizens. So I didn't know Jack Kennedy. I never worked with Jack Kennedy, but Scott Brown is no Jack Kennedy. Let's see here. According to the article from ABC News, a potentially complicating factor for Brown in a run for the GOP's presidential nomination in 2012 would be his support for abortion rights. Yeah, Scott Brown is a supporter of the dehumanization and murder of an entire class of American citizens. And that could be a problem for him in the GOP primaries, but maybe not. It might not be a problem, because one thing the GOP has proved in the Massachusetts election is that they're so desperate to win that they will elect Lucifer. If that's what it takes to put someone in office with an R after his name, they would elect Satan himself or a demon right out of hell. And I want to congratulate the Massachusetts pro-life organizations, both the chapter of National Right to Life and the local pro-life organization there in Boston, whose names I forget. I want to congratulate them for endorsing Lucifer in the last election against the boogeyman, or I guess it was the boogeywoman, whatever her name was. I can't recall. It's just embarrassing. You people who participate in Republican, Democrat politics, you are going to be so embarrassed 20 years from now when you look back and look at how you were duped and fooled and made to look like idiots by the Republican Party. So just cut it out, okay? Just because Lucifer has an R after his name doesn't mean we should vote for him. Just because Lucifer says, I'll stop health care, doesn't mean you run out and send him money and endorse him as a pro-life candidate. Hey, Lucifer voted against partial birth abortion. So he must be pro-life. Anyway, let's move on because I could go on forever on that. Let's move on to Barry Ho and his collapsing presidency. This is always fun to watch. While he collapses, though, keep in mind that this is the socialist tack. They always introduce and pursue agendas that are so ridiculously and outrageously leftist that they shock the nation, especially you Republicans out there. And then, right when they've got you all into a frothing tizzy, they compromise on a few things, give you the impression that you've won, and you end up being dragged closer to the rim of hell by Barry and Lucifer Scott Brown and whoever else is suckering you morons in. It's just pathetic. But let's go to Barry Ho and see what he's done as his presidency collapses into a state of total embarrassment. Here's what he's been able to do. A bill currently before the Senate, according to CNS News, would empower the Obama administration to nationalize the student lending industry. It would make up approximately 80% of all student lending. According to the Department of Education, 14 million of the 17 million student loans were federally subsidized back in 2009. And under Barry Ho's plan, the government would consume the entirety of the industry and loan ignorant, stupid saps who are spending $30,000 to $60,000 a year to go to college and catch sexually transmitted diseases and learn how to use a beer bong, it's all going to be federalized. A $100 billion industry for moronic parents sending their students to, what does Michael Savage call them? Institutions of lower living. Anyway, if you're thinking about sending your kid to college, all I can say is think again. I mean, what is there out there? There's probably a couple of schools, Patrick Henry University, and what's the one in Michigan? Hillsdale. But even there, you might get a little bit cloudy, so you got to be careful. Raise your kids right if you're going to send them into the lion's den of university, because now you're going to have to borrow the money from Barry Ho or Lucifer if he happens to be elected next time. Whoever's the president is going to be loaning your moronic, brain-dead brat money for college. All right, not to put too fine a point on it. Let's move on. This is a story. This was funny. This is from Cleveland, I believe, from the Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper. Barry Ho has a suspicious number of letter-writing fans named Ellie Light. Ellie Light published virtually identical letters to the editor in support of Barry Ho. In more than a dozen newspapers, every letter claimed a different residence for Ellie Light. That's her name. And all those residences happened to be in the newspaper circulation area. Here's what Ellie said. It's time for America to realize that governing is hard work and that the president can't just wave a magic wand and fix everything. I do not write as a representative of any organization. The letter I wrote was motivated by surprise and wonderment at the absence of any media support for our president, who won a record-breaking election by a landslide less than 18 months ago and now seems to be abandoned by all, supposedly for the infantile reason that he couldn't make all of Bush's errors disappear in one day. Signed, Ellie Light, Cleveland, Ohio. Ellie Light, San Mateo, California. Ellie Light, San Diego, California. Ellie Light, Lynchburg, Virginia. Anyway, it's just funny. So Barry Ho forgets that even the liberal reporters over at the Cleveland Plain Dealer have the ability to Google things. I mean, come on. This has Rahm Emanuel's fingerprints all over it. I can see him. I can see Rahm Emanuel sitting, typing out these letters as Ellie Light in the basement there at the White House. Anyway, we have something else from Rahm Emanuel, maybe later in the broadcast. Barry Ho gave a speech after Lucifer was elected. Lucifer R. Lucifer parentheses R. After he was elected, Barry Ho made a speech in Elyria, Ohio, offering his most extensive public comments about the election debacle in Massachusetts. That it's a debacle, right? Is that's what the media wants you to believe. This was a debacle. It was so bad for Barry that Lucifer was elected. Anyway, Barry acknowledged that he's taking some lumps, and he's trying to cast himself as a populist who will never stop fighting to bring health care reform and jobs to communities. Jobs to communities. What is that? Does a community get a job? Anyway, he read from his teleprompter, "Let me tell you, so long as I have the privilege of serving as your president, I'll never stop fighting for you. I am not going to walk away just because it's hard. We're going to keep on working to get this done with Democrats, Republicans, Lucifer, any of his demons, anyone who is willing to step up." So there it is. The socialist strategy at work. Introduce your wildly left-wing bill, and then seduce the supposedly loyal opposition with small compromises so that you sucker all the Republicans in and drag America just a little bit closer to the rim of hell. What are you doing playing Tom Petty? I thought you hated Tom Petty.
I do.
You do? That's something to get her to play Tom Petty. Now, I became a Tom Petty fan when I lived in Japan, and he had a song called American Girl. She was an American girl, raised on promises.
I'm not American.
Oh, you're not an American girl. But see, I thought the song was about you, see? It was. Anyway, that's how I became a Tom Petty fan, and I managed to slip one in there. I can't believe you played a Tom Petty song on the show. That's amazing.
We're
making progress here. All right, now, should I get to the apology? I probably should before we get round in second base here. I want to get to this. Apparently, in a previous broadcast, and I delved through the archives, and I just don't have time to listen to 40 hours or whatever, and you know, I want to tell everybody out there that if I haven't said something that offends you yet, well, you just haven't been listening. So I intend to, well, I don't intend to offend anyone. It's everyone. I do intend to offend some people. But I don't intend to offend everyone. It's just an occupational hazard. Anyway, a listener to the broadcast, I won't go into this particular gentleman's identity, called me and he said he had a bone to pick with me regarding remarks I made about the generation that was politically aware in 1967, 70, 73, when abortion began to be legalized around the United States. And apparently I used the term geezer at some point in that soliloquy. and for that, I apologize, because, you know, I'm over 40 myself, and I geeze regularly. You can ask my daughter, Nicole. She'll tell you, especially in the morning. So to use the term geezer was inappropriate. It was offensive. and it was not intended to be thus. So I apologize for that. But as to my assertion that I believe it was the broadcast where I talked about the personhood movement. Out here in Colorado, by the way, March for Life was last Friday. We had, normally we have 300-400 people. This time we had between 1,500 and 2,000 people all out there for personhood. It was a phenomenal success. I was allowed to make remarks from the steps of the Colorado State Capitol, a capital that we intend to capture one day, by the way. The remarks were tremendous. The bands were great. The speakers and the preachers were awesome. It was phenomenal. And I believe I was talking a while back about the personhood movement and how difficult it is. Because I'll tell you what, you remember George Patton and what he said. He said, America loves a winner and they will not tolerate a loser. Well, personhood in the election in 2008, we lost. So getting it back on the ballot here in Colorado has been difficult. Let me tell you what, there's been a lot of people with full-time jobs, mouths to feed, kids to take care of, who have been putting in an effort that is Herculean, trying to get it on the ballot again. Because once you're associated with something that loses politically, it's difficult to get the Republicans motivated. It's very difficult, and so it's been hard. And as I slog along through this effort, along with thousands of others here in Colorado, once in a while I complain. And so I believe I complained on the air, and I said that, you know, if only you geezers would have been paying attention back in 1967 when abortion was legalized in Colorado and Mississippi, or in 1973 when it was legalized throughout the nation, when the federal government stepped in and said that you will be mandated, all you states out there, supposedly sovereign states, you'll be mandated to dehumanize and murder an entire class of American citizens. Well, I believe I said that if only the geezers would have, I don't know, done something. And so for using the term geezer, I apologize. But let me clarify my position, because I call them like I see them, and I don't pull any punches. And I don't expect you to do any less with me. But to all you folks out there who were politically aware in 1967, 1973, if today, if the Supreme Court declared that those over 70 years of age were no longer capable of a quality of life, they were no longer constructive persons, they were no longer contributing enough to society, they were consuming too much, they were a drain on society, and if the Supreme Court declared that younger, productive, tax-paying family members of you seasoned senior citizens had the right to choose to take your lives, and then actually allowed it to happen in hospitals, and even set up clinics specifically for the dehumanization and murder of people over the age of 70, let's say, if that happened today, I would fight. If there were medical clinics set up where the legal killing of the elderly was to be carried out, I would fight to the point of taking up arms, if necessary, to defend your lives. So I can't apologize for what I said about anyone who was politically aware in the late 60s and early 70s. And allowed the federal government to usurp your freedom and to dehumanize and then murder 50 million American citizens. I can't apologize for that. I wouldn't let it happen. But then again, I have the advantage of having survived the Holocaust. I have the advantage of having grown up with a generation that was only 2/3 as large as it should have been because of the abortion Holocaust. So I have that advantage, and perhaps in 1967 when abortion was legalized in Colorado, perhaps that generation was not familiar with a Holocaust. But then again, perhaps they were, because one had occurred. So there will be no apology on that count, but I will do my utmost to fight for the rights of that class of American citizen that has been dehumanized and murdered. And should the Supreme Court turn their long knives toward you, senior citizens, I will fight for you as well. So there, that's out of the way. Let's move on now into the domestic tranquility file. I'm not sure where I want to start here. Well, let's start with this because it is just another sign of where we are as a culture. Christopher Speight, now this is something you didn't hear about much last week because of the earthquake in Haiti, and I forget what else was going on last week that was big news. Oh yeah, Lucifer R. was elected there in Massachusetts. Because of that, you didn't really hear about this, and you know, it's not that big of news. A gentleman there in Virginia, he shot and killed 8 people in a rampage. And then shot at a police helicopter. Christopher Speight was charged last Wednesday with 1 count of murder and is likely to face additional charges. The victims of his rampage included his sister, Laura Lee, along with her husband, her 16-year-old daughter, her 4-year-old son. The others were the 16-year-old's friends and her parents. So this guy in Virginia goes on a murderous rampage, shoots 8 people, practically shoots down a police helicopter, and we're, the entire country is so wrapped up in worshiping Lucifer R. in Massachusetts that this barely makes the news. So in America, here's where we are, the state of domestic tranquility. If you only kill 8 people and shoot down 1 helicopter, it barely gets mentioned. Anyway, this guy's guilty as sin. He should be put to death immediately upon his conviction. And it's just disgusting that our conscience in this nation has become so calloused that we have to be practically stabbed in the forehead with an ice pick to pay attention to the blood and carnage that's going on in our communities. It's disconcerting, and it bothers me that this was not the top story. I understand that Haiti is collapsing. I understand that the Republicans are excited about worshiping Lucifer, R, in Massachusetts. But when the bloodshed on this scale and violence on this scale invades our very communities and families, this needs to be the focus, ladies and gentlemen, because it doesn't matter what happens in Haiti. It doesn't matter to your family and your children. And it doesn't matter whether or not Lucifer, R, votes for or against health care. That is not going to affect immediately the rearing and survival of your children and your very family, your wife and your life. This, the bloodshed in our streets, the war against the civilians of our country, the war on us by us is what needs attention. And I intend to bring that attention one day, shortly after capturing that capital there in Denver. All right. Let's see. Now, moving on into the justice file. Here we've got some Muslim news. We got some Muslim news. This is out of Buffalo, New York, where I was born. Mercy Hospital, 1968, Buffalo, New York. Ask my mom, she'll tell you. From the Associated Press, the founder of an Islam-oriented television station, who is accused of beheading his wife, says he was abused by her for years. That's what his lawyer says. The lawyer intends to pursue a defense combining the justification of his abuse from his wife and some other psychiatric claims. The gentleman's name is Muzamil Hassan. Now, Muzamil Hassan is charged with 1 count of second-degree murder in the February 12th death of his 37-year-old wife, Isaya Hassan, at the TV station, the Muslim TV station that he founded. They founded that TV station, by the way, to counter negative stereotypes of Muslims. So that station didn't cover the beheading of, you know, that probably wouldn't have helped with negative stereotypes regarding Muslims. So I don't believe they've carried that particular story. Now, the lawyer for Muzamil Hassan has promised a revolutionary defense. He will claim By the way, this attorney's name, if you just want to mark this down for the to be cast into the pit of hell list, if you keep one of those, attorney Frank Bogulski. Frank Bogulski. He said that the wife was verbally abusive, that she had humiliated him, and, well, yes, he cut her head off, but, I mean, did you see what she said about him? By the way, she was divorcing him. Hassan was served with divorce papers a week before he cut his wife's head off. anyway, I don't really have much more to say about that. That's, you know, those are our Muslim brothers and sisters. Well, one less sister. But, boy, she had a mouth on her. All right, now, the equivalent of the Scopes monkey trial is going on in California right now and barely noticed by anyone. It's reported daily in the Associated Press, but none of the news networks, as far as I can tell, pick it up to any degree. It is the trial of the century. It's going on right now. It's called, I call it the Monkgate trial. The Monkgate trial out in California. I dubbed it the Monkgate trial on KLTT AM radio here in Denver as I was hosting, co-hosting with Bob Enyart this past week. Anyway, this is a trial against Proposition 8, a trial for homosexual marriage. A social psychologist testified last Friday in the trial, the Monkgate trial. Who is this person? University of California Davis researcher Gregory Herrick. He's the final expert witness for Clarence Darrow. For the homos in the Monkgate trial. And this expert gave testimony that shows that gays deserve... the intent of the plaintiff in this case, which is four homosexuals, sexually indeterminate of what they are, who they're with, but there's four of them. Their point is they want the federal court to consider whether state bans on gay marriages, and that doesn't mean happy marriages, by the way. It means homosexual marriage. If they are unconstitutional, they want to know. And they want to know if homosexuals deserve the same judicial protection as racial and ethnic minorities. That's the point in the Monkgate trial out there in California. By the way, Chief U.S. Judge Vaughn Walker, George H.W. Bush appointee, he's hearing the case without a jury, so let's see how that works out. For all of you who donated tens of millions of dollars to Republican causes over the last 30 years, and they kept telling you, we've got to have the Republicans in so we can get the judges, we've got to have the judges, it's all about the judges. Let's see how Chief Justice Vaughn Walker, let's see how he rules in the Monkgate trial out in California. In a survey cited by the expert from University of California at Davis, specializing in sexually transmitted diseases and beer bongs out there at UC Davis, Gregory Herrick, he's the expert, in a survey he cited said that 88% of the gay men who responded to the survey said they had no choice at all about their sexual orientation. And you know what? I think they have a point, because most of them had no choice in their molestation and the destruction of their lives by predatory homosexuals, which is how they reproduce. But they're implying that it's genetic, and I don't buy that. I don't buy that mostly because of lesbians, but I don't want to get into that. Herrick, the heretic, the expert witness, also said it's clear that gay men and lesbians are looked down upon, even regarded with disgust, because of long-standing social stigmas. Looked down upon? Regarded with disgust? Mr. Herrick, where have you been living for the last 30 years? The only people who are looked down upon and regarded with disgust are the people who are willing to stand up and come out of the closet and say, hey, homos make me sick. Jack the Heretic, he cites his study regarding homos. Do you know that there's a study regarding that song, Stayin' Alive? Yeah, Stayin' Alive. More cases of herpes were transmitted from male to male while that song was playing than any other song in the history of disco music. All right, I just made that up. But the queers out at the Monkgate trial, they're just making it up as they go. But they're going to win. You know why? Because the judge, it was appointed by George H.W. Bush. Well, that's not the only reason, but it will be a deciding factor. Trust me. So all of you who were suckered in by the Republicans, and by the way, I don't want to insult you. I had a t-shirt in 1994 that said, just say Newt. I was a dyed-in-the-wool, sold-out Republican. If Lucifer would have run for office with Newt Gingrich, let's say it was the Gingrich-Lucifer ticket in 96, I would have voted for him. So I've been fooled. I've been suckered. But I learned from my mistakes. I mean, I can only be suckered so long and lied to for so long by the Republican Party before I looked around and started to say, wait a minute. These people are lying to me. And see, I want to say something a lot more vicious, but I'm just not going to because it's a family show.
It is?
Well, not if you talk about this trial out in California. That's not a family show. All right, here we go. Into the domestic tranquility file. We're running out of time. Belleville, Texas, from the News Blaze in Belleville, Texas. The headline reads, was a Belleville, Texas suspect possessed with demons when he killed five people? Here's another one. Here's another one. While the Republicans and all of you conservatives, so-called, are out there worshiping Lucifer R., who got elected out in Massachusetts, here's a guy in Texas who slaughters five people. It hardly makes the news. Did anyone hear about this? Capital murder charges will be brought against Marin Thomas. He was arrested after slaughtering five people in his own family in Belleville, Texas. This isn't south side of Chicago. This isn't Oakland. This isn't gang-related. This family-related. The family has been assaulted for so long. Assaulted openly by the Democrats, undermined, subverted, seduced, and destroyed by the Republicans, that the family unit is starting to explode. It's like small thermonuclear devices going on in every city and every town in America, and it's happening every day, and we hardly even hear about it. Well, you hear about it here on this show. Anyway, the news, these idiot, moronic reporters with their journalism degrees from whatever university that they went to catch the clap and use a beer bong, and now they're reporters, they the headline is, was he possessed with demons? How does he end this? I don't even want to read it because it's embarrassing. Here's a reporter who probably could not quote the first sentence of the Bible. And yet he wants to talk about whether or not this guy was possessed with demons. I don't even want to read it. I don't even want to read it. It's just disgusting. All right. Dateline, Las Vegas, Nevada, from the LA Times. Robert Lee McConnell was scheduled to die on February 1st after he pled guilty. Guilty in Washoe County District Court of the 2002 murder of Brian Pierce, his ex-girlfriend's fiancé. But U.S. District Court Judge Robert Jones in Reno, by the way, appointed by George W. Bush, issued a stay of execution last Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, this scumbag pled guilty to the murders. He pled guilty to shooting his girlfriend's ex-fiancé nine times and murdering him in cold blood. And a George W. Bush Republican-appointed judge has stayed his execution. I rest my case. All right. Let's see. Into the international file. Hugo Chavez says it was a U.S. Navy weapons test that caused the earthquake in Haiti. Yeah. He says that it was a test of a weapon. He says it was only a drill, and the final target is destroying and taking over Iran with the same weapon system. I hope he's right. I mean, it'd be nice if we had a weapon system that could do that to Iran's nuclear facilities. But, of course, he's a madman. Chavez is.
Al Gore was wrong?
Al Gore was wrong?
It's It's not global warming.
Oh, that's right. Well, Al never got the memo from Chavez, or Chavez never got the memo from Al that it was global warming. Anyway, that's got to be kind of embarrassing for Al because they're so chummy and all. All right, Russia, by the way, let's stay in the... This is the war file. Russia, Moscow. Russia will start up the reactor in Iran's Bashir nuclear power plant this year, according to the chief of Russia's state nuclear corporation. 2010 is the year of Bashir, according to Sergei Kirienko, who is somebody there, chief of the nuclear corporation. He says there's absolutely no doubt that it will be built this year. Everything is going according to schedule. Well, tell that to the Jews. This year, huh? I have a prediction. If the Russians actually intend to turn this thing on, I predict that the Jews, Benjamin Netanyahu and the boys there, will bomb Iran before the end of the year. Let's hope they bomb them before Thanksgiving. That would be wonderful. I'd cook an extra turkey if they did. All right, let's... U.S. military weapons have been inscribed with secret Jesus Bible codes, according to ABC News. Coded references to New Testament Bible passages about Jesus Christ are inscribed on high-powered rifle sights provided to the United States military by a company up there in the God-fearing state of Michigan. That's right. Now, these rifle sights, they're made by a company called Trijicon. They have a contract to provide 800,000 sights to the Marine Corps. Wait a minute, the Marine Corps? I thought we shot with open sights. We never needed any scopes in the Marine Corps. They must be getting soft up there. Man. Anyway, the U.S. military rules specifically prohibit proselytizing of any region in Iraq or Afghanistan. Now here, ladies and gentlemen, is the crux of the foreign policy problem that we've run into over there in the Middle East, is that our secular leaders have decided not to proselytize Christianity among the heathen Muslim, the pagan, bloodthirsty Muslims with whom we are at war. Not only could we destroy their combatants with Christianity, but we could salvage the souls of their women and children. But America is no longer in league with Jesus Christ. America has departed paths from Jesus Christ and no longer has the right nor the desire to carry his message of grace, forgiveness, justice, peace. We no longer have that authority. And in fact, if we tried, I'm sure it would insult the living God and creator of the universe, and he'd get quite upset. let's see. Yeah, our secular leaders, they're trying to avoid criticism that we're embarked on a religious crusade. Well, let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. There is a religious crusade going on. It's just a matter of who wins it. Whether it's the warriors of Allah or the traditional crusaders, you know, folks like you and me. Let's see. They refer on the gun sites to 2 Corinthians 4:6. Great verse. Look it up. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. To give the warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses both behind this and straight up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at the Weekly Worldview that you would not tolerate anyone who would ever dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth has been uttered and is about to be uttered. Sorry I missed that. I hope I'm not fined. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's inscribed on a gun sight that the United States Marine Corps is using right now. Praise the Lord, I love that. John 8:12 is another verse inscribed on the gun sights. Now, it doesn't say they're scopes. Maybe the Marines aren't getting soft. It says they're gun sights. We'll have to look deeper into this. Let's see. Whoever follows me, Jesus Christ said, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, Trijicon, the manufacturer of the gun sights, confirmed to ABC that it does, in fact, inscribe the biblical codes on the gun sights. Their director of sales, Tom Munson, he said there's nothing wrong or illegal with putting them on there. He said the company has a practice of doing this, and it began under its founder, Glenn Benden, who's a devout Christian from South Africa, who unfortunately was killed in a 2003 plane crash, but the company carries on his inspired message. And, you know, I think we need a two-pronged approach. First, we proselytize through the gun sight and the barrel of the gun in order to destroy the Muslim combatants, and then we proselytize with an army of preachers and teachers to go in and convert the Muslim world and save the souls of their women and children. It is the Weekly Worldview. I am your humble host, Doug McBurney. And I've got another shocker. I've got a couple of shockers here. Hold on. Let me see here. Got a couple of shocking stories. Shocker of the week. Since the news doesn't want to pay attention to the fact that one guy in Texas slaughtered five in his own family. Another guy in Virginia goes on a rampage, shoots down a helicopter, slaughters eight people. That hardly makes the news, but Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are on the verge of divorce. Big shocker of the week. They have filed papers and they've signed a $250 million deal to split all their money. And but you know they have six kids?
They're not married.
They're not married? Mm-hmm. No, they are married. This says they're talking to divorce lawyers.
I thought they're not married.
I think they're married. Of course, you never know these days with these Hollywood types. Anyway, married or divorced, or I'm sorry, married or shacking up, they're breaking up. And they got six kids. They have six children, if you can believe this. Tell me that doesn't prove that God is not in control of every aspect of humanity. And God is not micromanaging the affairs of men. The fact that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie have been blessed with six children tells me that God is not a micromanager. He's just basically, he set things up and he put them in motion. And we've got free will. And this is not a dress rehearsal. And we're all responsible at the end of the day for the choices we make. And God can't peek into the future and make everything okay. For you or me or for Brangelina. Or for these six kids whose lives are going to be seriously, grossly, negatively impacted by their divorce. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars they have. It doesn't matter. You know, a kid can live on a dirt shack floor in Haiti, and if his mom and dad love each other, that kid is happy. He doesn't even know he's poor. Brangelina, they can pour millions of dollars and cars and jewelry and toys and you name it on these kids. But the fact that mommy and daddy no longer live in the same house, these kids will be miserable. Anyway, so the divorce announcement is expected soon. I don't know. Is it a divorce if they were never married? I don't know.
Maybe they are
married. Can I honestly say I haven't paid any attention to Brangelina's career, I have to say. I don't know what their status is, but they're going to ruin their kids, and they should probably be flogged for it.
He's ugly.
He's ugly? Is it just because of the beard that he's got going lately?
You always
thought he was ugly.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, listen to this. In London, from the Reuters Wire, a British department store chain has created a gift list for those wishing to help a loved one with the pain of modern divorce. So you remember back in the old days, you could go and register for gifts for your wedding? Well, now, at Debenhams department store in London, you can register for gifts for your divorce. And it makes sense from a business perspective, because according to the report from Reuters, 45% of British marriages are likely to end in divorce, according to the Office for National Statistics there. Anyway, on the list there at Debenhams, cookware, cutlery, crockery, glasses, bed linens, towels, and non-iron shirts, and large plasma screen TVs and computer games. For all of you children out there who are over 30, and you never grew up, and you still play video games, Now you can go and play the game of marriage and get divorced, and your friends can buy you a plasma screen and a new Nintendo, and you can move right back into your mother's basement, and you can be the end of Western civilization. Thank you very much. We really appreciate you. I heard a great interview with Tom Tancredo with a woman who wrote a book about the fact that men in Western culture, a large percentage of men, just never grow up. They never come out of puberty. You know, they're overloaded with immoral images and thoughts in their teens, and they're literally retarded and corrupted to the point where they never grow up. And in marriage, they're not men, so they can't be a man, and they can't rear children, and they can't satisfy and protect and make a woman happy, because they're just little punk teenagers. They're happier with a video game and a plasma TV, and they're happier watching a football game. And they can't be real men. And so Western civilization has a serious shortage of real men. And I'm here to tell you that I am here to step into the gap. I'm here to stand in the gap. For all you women out there who are concerned about the future of the world, there are real men left. Real men love Jesus Christ. And when they submit to his authority and his teaching, they can achieve manhood. But if they submit to Mario and Nintendo and the NFL and the NBA and Grand Theft Auto or whatever it else it is, or Hugh Hefner, when they submit to that, well, women and children first, because the ship is going down, ladies and gentlemen. But worry not, ladies. There are real men ready. When the fanatics and the barbarians at the gates come for you, there are enough real men in America. We'll stand up and we'll protect. Another shocker here. Another shocker. Speaking of men who never could make it past puberty, Dateline Huntington, West Virginia, Andy Dick was arrested around 4 a.m. last Saturday. He's been charged with 2 felony counts of first-degree sexual abuse. Now, we don't know if he was alone. We don't know if he was with a pet or a small animal or farm equipment. Or if we don't even know if there was another human being involved in the charges of first-degree sexual abuse. Because it's Andy Dick, and you just never know what he's capable of. That's a shocker. Another shocker of the week. Big news there. Dateline Atlanta, Georgia. This is an update on a story I covered quite some time ago. A Georgia man has been found guilty of second-degree child cruelty for slapping a crying 2-year-old at Walmart. Roger Stevens of Stone Mountain, Georgia, was convicted last Tuesday. He will spend 6 months in jail, followed by 6 months of home confinement. Authorities say the girl and her mother were shopping back on August 31st of 2009 when the 2-year-old brat toddler began screaming and crying uncontrollably. The police report says that Stevens approached the mother and said, "If you don't shut that baby up, I will shut her up for you." Stevens then slapped the girl 4 or 5 times. I know I'm not supposed to laugh at that. So now they're going to sentence this guy to 6 months in jail, followed by 6 months of home confinement. That's like modern-day grounding or timeout. Hey, if the guy's guilty, he needs to get slapped around. You know? Now he doesn't need to be given timeout. How come this girl's father isn't allowed to slap this guy around? Oh, I know why. Because this girl's father's not around. Yeah, he's in the basement playing Grand Theft Auto and smoking dope, while his wife's out with this uncontrolled brat at Walmart. 60-year-old guy who's actually a man comes by and slaps the kid. Hey, you know what? When your society is crumbling around the edges, things happen that are beyond the pale. And this is one of them. And if the guy's guilty, he needs to get slapped around. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. If I was the judge in that case, I would definitely be looking at all the facts. All right, let's see. The Germans, listen to this from Reuters. German scientists say that a new fast-acting disinfectant that they've created is effective against bacteria, viruses, and other germs. They say it could stop the spread of deadly infections in hospitals. Researchers from the Robert Koch Institute in Berlin said they've developed a fast-acting, practical formula which would kill germs on surgical instruments without damaging the instruments through corrosion. This is amazing. I tell you, I told you a few months ago, ladies and gentlemen, that our society is on the verge of total moral and financial collapse. And the only thing that can delay it, at least in human terms, is technology. It's amazing the power that God gave us in our minds and our hands to do amazing things. And even though we're grossly corrupt and immoral, these amazing things are still possible. Imagine if we would call once again on the Creator and the name of Jesus Christ and follow Him. Imagine what we would be capable of. Anyway, the German team found a simple alkaline detergent that could eradicate prions, which are disease-causing protons. I'm sorry, disease-causing proteins. The new disinfectant could have a huge impact on hospital safety. The study, by the way, if you want to check it out, I don't just talk about these things, and I'll cite the study. It's published in the latest issue of the Journal of General Virology. Virology, even. Virology? Virology. V-I-R-O-L-O-G-Y. Virology. Anyway. So imagine this. This is amazing, this disinfectant. I've worked in hospitals, and I know what it's about with the instruments that you pay tens of thousands of dollars for, and a couple years later, they literally are rotting because you've been soaking them in the... Anyway, it's a great advance, this new disinfectant. And imagine what this could mean. It could be used on Howard Stern's microphone, on Bill Clinton's shorts, on Rahm Emanuel's conscience. There is hope in technology. Russia, according to Reuters, Russia has registered its first population increase since 1995. Russia's population last year apparently grew between 15 and 25,000. Russia has an active effort, according to their health minister, to try to cut the number of abortions. Their abortion rate, listen to this, in Russia, 1.7 million births in 2009, 1.2 million abortions. Almost equilibrium. And that's only counting surgical abortions, not counting if you count abortifacients, you'll see that the Russians are committing suicide at a pace that rivals any civilization in the history of mankind. By the way, Russia's increase in population is a result of immigration, not births. Here in America, we vote for Lucifer R so that he can save us. And in Russia, they're importing Muslims, thinking that the Muslims are going to pay for their retirement benefits. So in Russia, 30 years from now, the Muslims are going to cut all the Russians' throats. They're not going to pay for their retirement. And here in America, if you don't stop getting suckered and duped by the Republican Party, they're going to kill your grandmother, along with the Democrats. I mean, the Democrats want to kill her now. 30 years from now, the Republicans will be cutting our throats. Let's see. Do we have anything else that I want to do? We're really close to the end. From Augusta, Georgia, the Augusta Chronicle newspaper reported last week that a new basketball league is being formed by a wrestling promoter. It's called the All-American Basketball League. The players have to be natural-born United States citizens with both parents of Caucasian race. To be eligible to play in the league, wrestling promoters doing this. According to the Chronicle, wrestling promoter Don Moose Lewis wants to emphasize fundamental basketball instead of the street ball, he says, that is played by, quote, people of color. Hasn't this been done? Like the Harlem Globetrotters? Didn't they have a white team that they used to play and they used to embarrass them? Anyway, let's hope the All-American Basketball Association even gets underway, and maybe 5 years from now they could go and play what's the worst team in the NBA? The Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings will go up against the AABA champions in a charity match. And it'll look like the Harlem Globetrotters. It'll be great. I don't want to do that story. Let's see. I think I'm coming up on the end here. You know, the personhood news I'm going to save for Bob Enyart's show later in the week. I want to give that to the radio audience. By the way, if you want to catch my radio gig, I'm on a lot. You can go to KGOV.com. It's on the internet. I don't want to talk about... Do I want to talk about the Scientologists in Haiti? Scientologists are going to Haiti, and they're attempting to heal people with a process called assist, which involves touching them, following their nervous system to reconnect the main points to bring back nervous system communication. That's a Scientologist. Now, they wear bright yellow T-shirts, and they... Here's what the Scientologists say. When you get a sudden shock to a part of your body, the energy gets stuck. So we reestablish communications within the body by touching people through their clothes and asking people to feel the touch. So, anyway, that's what happens when your religion is based on a science fiction novel. By the way, another group of Scientologists in Haiti are distributing antibiotic pills. So I guess they're all not completely out there in fantasy land. Anyway, a number of doctors down there are pretty annoyed that the Scientologists have showed up at all, frankly. Alright, here we go. From London, the Reuters Wire. A cat, which became famous in Britain for riding on the buses around the southern English city of Plymouth, has died after being run over by a vehicle. Casper was a 12-year-old black and white cat. He used to wait with commuters at bus stops outside his home and then hop on the number 3 bus and ride around Plymouth. Casper's death was announced on a notice put up by its owner. Sadly, the note said, a motorist hit him and did not stop. Casper apparently died from his injuries. The website for the local newspaper said that it had received tributes from around the world for a cat that rode the bus and then was run over, quite possibly by a bus. Anyway, I want to close on this, a commentary that again reminds me of the potential of the Obama presidency. Only if you Republicans will stop being duped and suckered and voting for Lucifer R in the next election. Please find a real man to vote for. If you can, because they're few and far between. Let me tell you what. All right, that's the worldview for this week. My name is Doug McBurney. I will be back with you next week. I want to thank KGov, KGOV.com, Denver Bible Church, Personhood USA, American Right to Life, Colorado Right to Life, Theology Online, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. I will be back next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.